Hey, hello again. This is Chris, and this is episode 30 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Thanks again for joining me. Now, this one, this is the much-anticipated, long-awaited episode on Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you about what I think about Donald Trump. Now, there's a lot to say about this particular topic. And I think I'm going to piss off a lot of people because there's some people who love him, some people who hate him, libertarians, you know, a lot of libertarians just absolutely hate him for a few reasons. And, you know, look, he's no libertarian. Okay, I think that's the first thing to point out here. Donald Trump is no libertarian. He is a populist, and he's a big government guy, or at least he can be a big government guy if he perceives that that big government is serving the people, the American people. But I think his whole argument, and this is what I loved about him, and his whole campaign, first of all, I loved the way he made all of those idiots on stage at the Republican debates look like idiots, which is what they were. Except for Rand Paul. I was a big Rand Paul fan. I still like Rand Paul, except, unfortunately, I think Rand Paul did a horrible job in his campaign and in those debates when he went after Trump. He should have recognized that Trump was the only guy up there who believed in that the government sucks and the government should be smaller and the government is there to serve itself. You know, I think that's the main message of Trump. The main message was that the Washington establishment, the government in Washington, is not there to serve the American people. It's there to serve itself. It's there to get rich. They want to enrich themselves, expand their power, preserve their power, and protect themselves from accountability and crush anybody who dares to try to reduce their power or hold them accountable. That was his message. And it was a great message. The problem is that once he became president, I don't think he really followed through with that, or he tried to make nice, he tried to get along with these people, horrible people in Washington, and they were at war with him. They were at war with him from day one. They wanted to destroy him because he is right about the ruling class. You know, America is ruled by a ruling class that doesn't care about you and me. They are there to, they care about themselves. They are there to empower themselves and protect themselves and enrich themselves, serve themselves. And that was the big message. And he should have just gone straight to war with Washington from the day he became president, but he didn't. He tried to get along with them, and a part of that is the military. You know, I think that there are a lot of people in the military, the soldiers, you know, who supported Trump, but a lot of people at the top of the military recognized that this is a threat to Washington's power. This is a threat to, you know, Trump wanted to, he campaigned on ending wars. And I think a lot of people in the top of the military realized that this is a threat because there's a lot of money to be made in war. There's a lot of money in war. And I think that there is also a lot of people in Washington who truly believe, I think they're wrong, but they're patriots and they love America and they truly believe that the world needs America to be the world policeman. And, you know, America has kept the peace since World War II. But I think all you have to do is look around and go, well, really hasn't. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, America's basically been at war the entire time. You know, we've got Korea, Vietnam, we've got the Middle East, Afghanistan, 20 years in Afghanistan. You know, this has not been a time of peace. So, and we've had the 9/11 attacks, which I think, just like Ron Paul and Rand Paul were talking about that this was all a result of American involvement in the Middle East. You know, America should just leave people alone. And we'd be a lot safer in America if we just left people alone. I'm all for a huge military that can crush any of our enemies, but we shouldn't go around the world. We shouldn't, be the policemen of the world. I don't believe we should. And I think Trump felt that way. And so there was a lot of people in Washington who wanted to destroy him. And they did. They destroyed him. And I think a big part of that, obviously, was the Russia hoax, you know. And look, this all started because of the Middle East, because of the war against ISIS, the fight against ISIS in Syria, when Trump wanted to basically have a cooperative relationship with Russia and work together with Russia to get rid of ISIS, to fight ISIS. And Hillary Clinton wanted to shoot Russian planes down over Syria, because Hillary Clinton was defending the American military hegemony. You know, if ISIS is going to be attacked with guns and bombs, then they're going to be American bombs, because then the American defense contractors will make the money, you know, even if it's not the most efficient way to do it, or even if, you know, ultimately it's the American taxpayer who pays for every bomb that gets blown up. Wouldn't it be better to have the Russian taxpayers pay for some of those bombs? Have some of the Russian bombs blowing up ISIS instead of all American bombs? And that's what Donald Trump was all about. He was about representing the American taxpayer. And Hillary Clinton and the Washington establishment, they're trying to milk the taxpayer. They hate the taxpayer. They're parasites, they're vampires, sucking the lifeblood out of the American taxpayer to enrich themselves and to enrich their buddies. And part of that is the military-industrial complex that we talk about, you know, that Eisenhower warned us about. You know, this stuff is real. This isn't a joke. This isn't fake. You know, there really is a military-industrial complex. There's a lot of money in war. Every one of those bombs costs millions of dollars, and that's $1 million that an American company is making. And I think Trump understood that, but the problem is Trump never really, I mean, he's just, the thing I hate about Trump is that he's just not articulate. He's not articulate. He doesn't just look straight into the camera and say, look, I represent you, the American people, the American taxpayer. These people in Washington, they're milking you. They're milking, and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, they represent this parasite class. You know, it's all Trump had to do. And all Trump had to do about the Russia collusion hoax was say, look, I, Donald Trump, want a peaceful, cooperative relationship with Russia, because that is better for you, the American people. That's better for you. But the people in Washington, they make more money if we live in a world of tension and chaos if we have an adversarial relationship with Russia. They want Russia to be the big bad boogeyman so they can keep their budgets up, so they can keep their power, because the American people, you pay them to protect you from Russia. Well, what if you don't need to be protected from Russia? Well, you can't have that. Oh my God. No, Russia has to be the boogeyman so that they can all keep making their money. And I've talked about this before, about how NATO, you know, Donald Trump wanted to make NATO, the NATO members, pay for more for NATO. And look, I mean, I think I mentioned this in some earlier podcast about the NATO headquarters in Brussels, you know, multi-billion-dollar building with thousands of people working there. Now, NATO was originally organized to protect, to present a unified front against the Warsaw Pact, against the Soviet Union. Well, there is no Soviet Union. Russia is not going to invade Europe. They don't have the power. They're not unified. They are not going to invade Europe. So we don't even need NATO. We don't need NATO anymore. Now, could we have NATO? Could we keep NATO as a loose association of countries that cooperate and maybe train together to make sure that, you know, our militaries are compatible and we can work together if we need to. Sure, sure. But do you think the people who work for NATO, you think those thousands of people, do you think they want a country where, you think they want a world where Russia and the United States are happy and friendly and peaceful? No. They want a world where Russia and the United States are at each other's throats. That's what they want. And so that's why they invented this entire Russia collusion hoax. They invented the whole thing. And all Donald Trump needed to do was say, was just look into the camera calmly and reassuringly and say, look, these people in Washington have made this up because they need Russia to be the boogeyman. Because that way they can milk you, they can justify their big budgets and their, you know, because if Russia's not a boogeyman, then you know what? We could fire a lot of those people. Just fire them. Make them go out into the real world and get real jobs where they actually have to do stuff, you know? And also, look, the people in Washington, the whole intelligence community, they're there to spy on you, to control you. You know, these people are not the good guys, you know, a lot of them. Some of them are. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of good people in Washington, a lot of good people in the government. But the people at the top, they're not good people. They're there to serve themselves, and they're there to control you, to take your money, and to prevent you from being independent, you know. And they don't want you to be independent. They want you to be dependent on them. You know, I think it was H.L. Mencken who talked about a constant series of hobgoblins. You know, they have to keep you afraid, you know, because that way they make more money and they have more power. If you're terrified of COVID, you're going to give the government more money and more power. If you're terrified of Russia, you're going to give the government more money, more power. If you're terrified of Islamic extremism, you know, Muslim terrorists, you're going to give the government more money, more power. And so that's a lot of what they want to do. They want to keep you terrified. And the media is part of that. You know, so that's why the, you know, CNN, half the people on CNN used to work for the CIA. You know, they're always bringing members of the former members of the Washington government establishment on as talking heads, as experts. So, look, I just think that Trump, you know, if Trump is going to run again in 2024, I don't know, you know, I think he needs to be more on message. He needs to be more on message. He needs to be more articulate. He needs to be calmer. He needs to be less bloviating, less immature. He needs to be more focused on his message. His message is the government is too big, it's too powerful, it takes too much money away from the American people. We need to shrink it. And the government hates that idea, so the government, the people in government, are going to fight that with all of their might. They're going to try to destroy Trump again. They will try to destroy him again if he rears his ugly head. That's what this whole January 6th committee is all about. That's what it's all about. It's just about keeping Trump down. It's about keeping Trump supporters down. It's about keeping people terrified of Trump. That's, you know, another thing they want. They want the Democrats to be all the Democrat voters to be terrified of Trump. Oh, guy's a fascist. That's the other thing that Trump needed to do, which he never really did. All he needed to do in that debate, that first debate with Joe Biden, all he needed to do was look into the camera and say, look, American people, I think the government should leave you alone for the most part. I want you to be free. I think you know best how to run your life, how to run your business. I think you should be free to make your own decisions about COVID, about what kind of risk you want to take, about do you want to open your business? Do you not want to open your business? Do you want to go shopping? Do you not want to go shopping? Do you want to go to that restaurant? Do you not want to go to that restaurant? You should be free. Joe Biden, that guy over there, Joe Biden, he wants to tell you what to do. He wants to order you around. He thinks you're a dumbass. He thinks you're an idiot. He thinks you're a child who needs to be told what to do, who needs to be bossed around, who needs to be ordered around. And if he gets power, he's gonna issue executive orders and boss you around and tell you what to do and dictate. He's going to make all the important decisions in your life are going to be made by bureaucrats and politicians in Washington, not you. You're not going to be able to make your own decisions. You're not going to be the most powerful person in your life. Joe Biden is going to make sure that the politicians and the bureaucrats in Washington are the most important and the most powerful people in your life. I believe that you should be the most powerful and the most important person in your life. If Donald Trump had just said that, he'd be president right now. And if he had stuck to that, if he'd been talking like that since 2016, since 2015, then he'd be the greatest president ever. I mean, ever, probably. So, but he didn't do that. He didn't live up to those. He didn't stick to his message, and he got destroyed. He did not go to war with those horrible people, and they were at war with him, and they crushed him. They drove him out. They turned the American people against him, a lot of the American people against him. And it would have been really hard to turn people against. It would have been, if he had talked like that to the camera, straight to the camera, straight to the American people, I think you should be free to make your own decisions. It's really hard for the Democrats to say, he's a fascist. But, I mean, fascism is centralized control. I mean, Donald Trump is the exact opposite of a fascist in a lot of ways. The exact opposite, and Joe Biden is a fascist. Joe Biden wants to consolidate. The Democrats want to consolidate and centralize all power into Washington. So that, and then those people in Washington will tell us all what to do. That's fascism. That's communism. It's totalitarianism. It's authoritarianism. It's all those bad isms. And Donald Trump wasn't any of those, you know? Donald Trump thought, well, we should just have a government that does basic things like national security, and border security is one of those basic functions of national security. Border security, well, that's a basic function, probably the most basic function. All he had to do was say that. It's really a kind of the basic, most basic thing a government should do, protect the border. I mean, that's, you can't even argue with that. But they, you know, the Democrats, oh, he's a fascist. He's a racist, you know. So, but Trump never really articulated his message and hammered it, kept hammering it, you know. So I think that was his downfall. And I think another thing that he should have done was right when he became president, he should have gone to Chicago and had a multi-day symposium on reducing urban violence, on urban renovation, economic recovery, economic reinvigoration, economic liberty, because that's the real problem. And I talked about this in a previous episode about, you know, that's the real problem in our cities. The Democrats are communists, centrally controlling the economies. They erect a huge bureaucracy that sucks the lifeblood out of it stifles economic activity in the cities. And the people suffer, and then the people turn to crime. That rips apart families. It sends people to prison. It creates violence. The Democrats are communists, and communism destroys civilization, like I talked about in my previous episode, number 29. And nowhere is that more clear and more evident than in our cities, where the Democrats have total control. So. All right. Well, that's another thing that Trump should have. He should have gone after the black vote. So way harder than he did. He did go after the black vote, but he should have been more. He should have listened to Rand Paul, which he did a little bit. But Rand Paul has, you know, the economic enterprise zones. I think that idea, and Rand Paul's absolutely right. That's how you solve these problems in the cities. Economic liberty. That's how you solve the problems. But he didn't really articulate that, you know? And so, that's, so I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag with Trump. His style is terrible, you know, his style, very bloviating and immature. His substance is pretty good, but he didn't really stick to his message and articulate that message very, very efficiently, effectively. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see if he runs in 2024. But that's what I think about Trump. It's a mixed bag. Love-hate relationship. And that's it. That's episode number 30, the Trump episode. And I will see if you like this episode, if you like this podcast, you know, check me out on social media, Twitter, Libertarian Rep 3, and go to go to Podbean or any of those Apple iTunes and give me some good reviews, and I'd appreciate it. And I will talk to you on episode 31. All right, bye-bye.